on the next guest from 973 show, it's someone who makes magic with paper. I'll not say more about him. Let's hear from him. Atamjit Singh Bawa.
Hi.
Popular as the paper model guru in Bahrain. Now you're here with us to take us through all what you do with paper. Let me begin with this. How did you take to this passion?
Rajit, it was an engineer accident, right?
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I call it because I'm an engineer. The story goes way back when I was 4 years old. My house is in Amritsar. It's very close to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
So ever since I remember, I have been fascinated with airplanes. And I've grown up looking at tanks, and because Amritsar is one of the biggest army cantonments.
Yes.
So tanks and aeroplanes is what, you know,
you get to see
almost every day, right? Mm-hmm. So the fascination of planes and then, you know, eventually machines, you know, made me so curious about machines that I started, you know, observing them, reading about them. Like when a JCB would come to, you know, to pave the or dig the roads, mm-hmm. or, you know, paver would come. So I would just observe the mechanics of the machines because I was a kid, you know, I was very curious at how such a machine can do these kind of wonders. And then, you know, the sound of the engine, you know, the way the chain moves, that has always fascinated me even today. So I used to experiment, you know, I've always been somebody who would want to create something out of scratch.
Okay.
So I remember there is a eye drops called eye tone. It's a green color thing in India, very popular. It comes in a plastic cover. When you remove the plastic cover looks like a train engine.
Okay.
So I would always, you know, look forward to when my mom used to bring eye tone. So I would take that, I would paint it black from inside, and I would put some chimney and, you know, some wheels, and, you know, it's a small steam engine. So I would create things out of scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've been doing all my childhood ever since. And then in school, since, I don't know, I mean, I would accredite to this habit of mine that when I went to school, I remember 9th or 10th standard, I happened to learn geometry faster than my class would. Because I kind of could see things in three dimensions. I mean, mm-hmm. if somebody would give me, calculate the area of a box, I would do it like this.
Okay.
Because I could go inside the box with my head and, you know, count, okay, this is the wall and this is like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that ability happened, I don't know how. Maybe because of I've been observing machines and, you know, reading about it and things like that. So geometry was my thing. Like I was not good at many things, but I was very good in geometry.
Okay.
And then I knew that this is my strong area. So when I went to engineering. So engineering, I always knew that I was going to be an engineer, but I didn't know what I was going to do, what would be my major. So my dad chose textile for me because that was a seat which was available in Amritsar,
mm-hmm.
and he wanted me to stay in Amritsar, and even I would love to that. And the university campus was like 6 or 8 kilometers from my place. So I happened to join BTech for textile chemistry.
Okay.
And I mean, because the future was like looking, you know, textile was getting more in demand, and, you know, textile industry might flourish. That was a thought. So fine. And anyways, it's in engineering. So first year of engineering, fortunately, they don't teach anything about textile or, you know, any major. They teach everything about engineering. Like they will teach you lathe machine, they will teach you welding,
mm-hmm.
And even though I'm from a textile background, but the first year is all about machine, the basics of engineering.
Mm-hmm.
So I just love that just like, you know, 3 Idiots, Aamir Khan loved you know, going to college, and
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
that was the person I was like,
okay.
Wow, man, let's do lathe today, let's do welding today. And you know, and there is one subject which they teach in all engineering first year is called engineering drawing.
Okay.
Which is actually hated by almost everybody I know. Nobody loved that subject because it's basically they put some kind of an object in front of you on a table, and then they ask you to
draw
the front view, top view, bottom view of any object. Maybe it's a screw or, you know, a glass of a plastic glass or a glass, right? So again, because it's three-dimensional, it was my thing. I knew how it would look if I'm standing above it, mm-hmm. or, you know, looking it from the below. So perspectives was my thing already. Like, my mind was trained from childhood till my engineering days that, you know, perspective was my thing. So I loved it. And my teacher, he saw the curiosity and the enthusiasm I had for that class. So eventually, I ended up teaching my own class. Mm-hmm. So he would give me, Atam, aaj tu padha. Like, you teach the class.
Okay,
this is the object, this is subject. I know you will do it, and then you do it. And I loved that. I mean, teaching was even more, because when you teach somebody, na, you learn the funda, and, mm-hmm. and your basics get very clear. So engineering drawing happened. I was good in geometry. So I thought that let me combine engineering drawing skills and the geometry, which I was good at, in making an aeroplane. Because I've made a lot of aeroplanes in my childhood as well. Like, I would cut paper and, you know, try to make a glider out of it. You know, I will try to experiment with paper, put some, like, a pilot looking figure in it, and, you know, play with it, which I do today as well. You know, if you give me a plane, I will play with it, right? So that's the kind of kid I was. So I thought, okay, let me make an aeroplane. And I knew that I have to combine engineering drawing skills. So for that, I needed some kind of a drawing, like front view, top view, bottom view of a plane, which I would then transform into a three-dimensional object.
Okay.
So either you give me a three-dimensional object, I would transform it to a two-dimensional drawings, and I can do reverse as well. Give me two-dimensional drawings, and I would try to transform it into three-dimensional thing. So drafter was my tool. So, you know, I got so that I remember it was 2003. I was still in my first year engineering. And I happened to visit my university's library. It's a very big library. And I went there for the first time. I remember I never stepped into my library. I'm not a person who was very studious and all. I just love doing things. You know, I don't like to read things. So I went there. I tried to search a book on aviation or aeronautics. We don't have aeronautics department still in Amritsar, okay. Guru Nanak Dev University. But I could find only one book, which was really very old, like 1970s published something. And it was on one of the top shelves of one, like, the huge library. So I remember I spent around 2.5 hours just finding that book. It was full of dust and, you know, cobwebs, and, you know, really it was like nobody would have touched it in the last 20 years. Mm. And I couldn't find even like more than 2 stamps when it was, you know,
taken out
from the library. So I knew that nobody reads it. So when I randomly opened the page, I found exactly what I was looking for. That there was plans of a World War II aeroplane, the F-4F Grumman Wildcat. And I didn't have any idea in my mind that, you know, I would make some specific plane. Mm-hmm. Whatever plane it was, I was ready, like,
to make it.
I found what I was trying. Was like, I lived the luckiest day of my life. And 2.5 hours was not spent in vain. So I found my thing, and I, you know, got the book home, and then I started tracing it. So the drawings were very small. So I had to trace it, scale it up. Using my drafter, I scaled it up. I, you know, redraw the drawings. And then using some geometrical formulas, I converted those things into cones and cylinders and, you know, wings. And, you know, the basics of the fuselage and the wings was ready. And there was a day after, I think, 2.5-3 weeks of that effort, a day came when my parts had to join at a single point inside the plane.
Mm.
And that happened. That is why I call it an engineered accident.
Okay.
It accidentally happened. So all the parts joined, like, just like Lego, right? Everything fitted perfectly. Like, my calculations were, like, very, very accurate. And it was all manually done. No computers. It was all analog. Mm. And that day, I remember, it was my plane was ready, and then I started painting it. I thought, okay, let me make it Indian Air Force plane. It was a German plane, but I made an Indian Air Force plane.
With it tricolor?
And, with the silver color paint and the Indian Air Force Tiranga and all. And, you know, I mean, it was a very big plane. And I was very happy. And my parents were like, okay, I mean, they have seen me doing this since childhood. And I just used some new tools to make something bigger, which is a scale model. And they were happy. I was happy. Okay, I hung it in my bedroom, above my bed. So just like, you know, a lot of movies, you know, kids, like, when they're sleeping, they're looking at the roof and the ceiling, and they're looking at their creations, right? So I used to admire that creation of mine. And then I thought, okay, because I loved that process, because I kind of started thinking that I've invented something, you know. It was not really a big invention for me, but I invented something which really made me happy. It really made me ke wow, like loved it. And that thought wouldn't let me sleep, that, you know, what next? Like, now I made a plane, I would make another plane, but how to improve on it? So this is the year 2003, when Google was very new.
Okay.
We were not very, Google, using Google wasn't not natural to us, right? It was, the internet was new, and I was, I think 18 years old. So one of my very close friends, Harman, he's another brilliant artist. So he always is a person who would think 10 years ahead. So he is always tech savvy. So he told me, Ricky, my name is Ricky, Ricky, start using Google, see what you can do with this, you know, just you click some pictures and see what you can do. So I thought that, okay, I'll use Google and I'll try to find some email addresses of random artists from all over the world, which I did. I found around 500 plus artist emails. I was having a Rediff account that time, Rediff Mail. And I clicked a very low definition picture of that plane with my webcam. There was a webcam, right? Now we have smartphones like high definition. There was the lowest resolution you can think of, a pixelated photo of the plane, me holding the plane. Mm. I clicked the picture and then I started sending a very long email to all those 500 people. Like same email, I would just send it to everyone. Just to get the feedback that this is what I've done. Since you are an artist, you are in the art industry, what should I do? Like, what do you think I should be doing? So I started receiving messages like, you know, this doesn't even look like a plane. You know, you're wasting your life. You're concentrated on your studies all like that. Yeah, like it was fun, you know, like, and like I that was the first episode of me getting trolled before the troll word was even invented. So I was being trolled like nicely on the emails, on my own emails. And then there was a reply from a gentleman from Kentucky, USA. His name is Mr. Divine Barnett. And he told me that there is a hobby called scale paper modeling. And he introduced me to this hobby and he said that I will send you a PDF file. Just print it out on a 200 GSM paper and read the instructions, cut the parts out and see how you can fit each part just like a Lego. But you have to glue and cut the parts and glue together. And that was the thing he gave me. And I remember I was going to have my exams and my mom was like, she knew that when I get into something like this, I would leave everything and, you know, I would concentrate on something. And that was something really good. I mean, he gave me a very professional looking PDF of a World War One aeroplane, Bell XP-77, small aeroplane. And he said that, okay, once you make it, you send me the pictures. I couldn't wait to, you know, get it printed, but my mom wouldn't let me because my exams were coming. Mm. So she said, okay, I will let you print the things, but you have to keep the prints under the mattress of the bed. And like once your exams are done, then you pick it up. And then, so I remember I used to look at those prints every night before I go to bed, just to see when I will start making this thing, right? It's so, so cool. And at the day came when I started making this, I purchased a scalpel, a medical scalpel blade.
Yeah.
And then I used to cut it on a tile, the washroom tiles, right? Mm. The wall tiles. So I started cutting on that, the paper. And I kind of made that plane, small plane, and I sent the pictures to Mr. Divine Barnett. Very low resolution pictures. Then he was very impressed. He said, wow, this is good. I'd never expected you would be able to make it in the first attempt. Mm-hmm. And he said that my first model, I remember his words. Like he said, my first model was nowhere to be seen, but you have done an amazing job, Atamjit. And then he sent me another file and he said that this is a level up. So that the first file which he sent me was only one PDF page. So there were around 70, 80 parts, small parts on that PDF. The second file he sent me was around 9 to 10 PDF pages. Like it's 10 times more complicated model, but it's a bigger model. One is 248 scale. So 48 times smaller than the original plane. It's like this kind of size. So it was F4U Corsair. And Corsair happened to be one of the most famous World War II aeroplanes. It was like the innovation was amazing. And the plane was named the Flying, the Whistling Death. Mm-hmm. The propellers used to have a whistling kind of sound. So it's a very famous plane. And I started making that plane as well. And it came out even better than the first plane. And, you know, because that's my thing, right? My God, it came out so well. I mean, I made the entire ribs inside. The skeleton was there with paper. Even the cockpit, the cockpit had an opening, you know. You can open the cockpit. You would see all the avionics inside. and the propeller would move. If you remove the propeller, you will see the components of the engine. Everything was made out of paper.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the thing, like, I was born to do that. And I mean, that was the time when I sent him the pictures, he was like, Atam, you have done something really amazing and this is only the second attempt. And then he posted that pictures on the front page of his website.
Okay.
And in 2003, 2004. And that time, like, it was, as internet was very new, I was on the cover page of a very famous website from US because he was a very famous guy in US.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if he's still alive or not. I just, you know, I hope he is. Mm-hmm. And he would be able to listen to this podcast someday.
Okay.
And yeah, so.
Barnett, I mean, right?
Mr. Divine Barnett, yeah.
Divine Barnett.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's try Googling him. Let's try to reach out to him maybe, you know.
I actually tried. I could get in touch with one of his daughters and she told me that he's medically not fit. And he doesn't, he wants to isolate himself from the world. So I'm just waiting for a day when he replies to my email. I've sent him an email, So I'm being patient. So hopefully, maybe someday.
Yeah. Thank you for that, taking us through your journey. I would call it Ricky's Prem Kahani with Machines.
Yes.
I love the narrative, starting with that love for machines, your perspectives. You repeatedly said that you were born for this.
Yes.
You know, that's called passion. And I can see that passion in every word that you've taken here tonight. And the journey from that little boy who dreamt of his paper models to hashtag the guy with an airplane on his glasses. Am I right?
Yes,
did I say that right?
You're right.
I always see you sporting an airplane, that paper model on your glass.
Yes.
Now you have a tricolor. It's an Indian...
It's an Indian flag, yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But I've seen you with others as well. So you have different ones that you replace?
Yeah, I keep experimenting with different colors.
But you always go out with one on...
I have never stepped out of my house since 2017 November.
Okay.
2017 November. So I just want to share this story and why it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And now you know my story started with aeroplane. So that's why I wear aeroplane on my glasses. 2017.
Before the story, they're fragile, right?
This is made of paper, yes. This is paper. So it gets wet.
Okay, I was going to ask you, humidity, rain.
Humidity doesn't really affect it, but rain does. So when I'm in rain, I will be like this.
Really?
Always. No matter what, but I will be like.
And but then, still you will go with this.
Yeah, I have never stepped out of my home.
Mm-hmm.
Not even for 2 minutes.
So don't you take out your glasses?
Yeah, I just take out my glasses and I have a collection of around 13 glasses now.
Okay.
So all of them have different kind of planes. Mostly Tiranga, mostly Indian.
So it's fixed on that glass.
Yeah, it's
you
fixed.
Don't remove that of the glass.
No.
The frames and the glasses change.
Okay. And I keep changing the plane as well. So it's actually detachable.
That's what I meant. And have you by mistake hit on it?
When initial days in 2017, right?
Before it was a habit.
Yeah, exactly. Because we tend to hold the glasses from here. It took me some time to start holding glasses
behind.
From here.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And then, you know, sometimes accidentally your hand would, and it still happens sometimes. But
for me, it would be very difficult because I remove it like this.
Yeah, for somebody who's clumsy, I mean, I'm not, my wife is. So it's very difficult otherwise.
Okay. Tell us about these airplanes.
Yeah,
they're cute and beautiful.
Thank you. So 2017, right? The kind of person I am, right? I keep questioning what next? Like how to improve on... upon like how to add more things to my journey.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've always been a person who have tried unique things. So I'll take you back to the university time again. So in my university, since I was doing BTech textile, I was like, okay, what's the big deal? I'm not doing something, you know, unique about it. So I started learning French. So I was the only person from my department of applied chemical sciences and technology to start studying French. So I studied French for 2 years, just to do something unique, apart from my classmates. And 2006, campus placement starts in third year, which is four year course, but third year will start. And I made sure that our placement office would allow a textile chemist to sit for IT companies.
Mm-hmm.
Because before that, we were not allowed. BSc in physics was allowed. Electronics engineer was allowed. Computer engineer was obviously allowed. But textile engineer was not allowed. I fought with them in second year, later half second year. Why not? Tell me a reason why. Why physics is allowed and then textile is not allowed. So they made sure that, okay, you guys also sit. So I sat and I was also studying for my, to get into an MBA college. So for the CAT exam. common entrance test. So whenever studying for CAT, you know, they try to bring your aptitude up, because the kind of questions you solve, they are very difficult questions, and slowly your aptitude goes up. So it happened to coincide with my Accenture placement day. So I could easily clear the written exam because I had studied that during my CAT preparation classes. So it was easy to clear the aptitude test. Done deal. Then interviews happened. So the first interview was with the HR. Before the technical round, it was the HR round. So I was good in English. Mm-hmm. And, I was a confident person. So HR approved of me. And then there was a technical interview. So a technical interview, since I didn't know coding, because I'm a textile guy. So the first question he asked me, Atam, do you know coding? I said, no, I don't know coding, but I can write any algorithm. You give me a problem, I will try to solve it on the algorithm. He said, no issues, bro. I will not ask you anything about computers, but I'll ask you about chemistry. He was MSc in chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh shit. Now the deal got real, right? And I couldn't dodge those because he's a chemistry guy. I can't even bluff. I can't even,
Okay.
So I was like, okay, fine, let it go. And then he started asking me some chemical reactions. I was like, you know, those reactions I studied 4 years back in plus two. And, you know, I had a very vague memory of those, and, you know, started, you know, telling him that mix this and this and this will happen. I was like kind of close to those things, but not very accurate. And then he asked me something about relative humidity. I gave a wrong answer. Basically, all my answers was wrong. But I was giving the answer so confidently, you know, this is how it is. Give me pen and paper. Because we were taught in our CAT preparation that, you know, how your body language should be when you're giving an interview, like your eyeballs and, you know, your hand shouldn't shiver and all. And I was sure that I'm not going to clear this interview. Because why would Accenture take me as a textile chemist? Like, there are computer engineers sitting outside, and why would I be hired? So I had so much of confidence, like,
that they're not going to hire.
I'm not going to be hired. So, you know, what's the worry about? So when you have that kind of situation, right, that's the best thing for you. That, so it worked out.
That
so
gives
well.
You an extra confidence, right?
Yeah,
anyway, not
extra confidence.
It, yeah.
Ask me something more, like that. So then after the interview, he said that, let's see. Then he said, sir, I want to show you something. Then he said, what? So I said, sir, if you see my resume, just go to the last page. I have some printouts. So he said, I saw that. I was going to ask what it is. Basically, those were the pictures of the first two airplanes I made, the paper models. And he said, what is this? Like, have you made them? I said, yes. He said, it looks like plastic. I said, no, it's made of paper. And then he was like, okay, you made it for paper? I said, yes. Then I showed him the website where I was still on the cover page. Then I showed him my own portfolio, artwanted.com. And he knew that this guy is something like he's creative. Like, we'll throw him in a problem, he will try to get a solution. And that's how I got placed in Accenture. I was the first person from a university's history of my department to have been placed in an IT company.
Okay.
And sorry, now I'll come back to this question,
yeah,
right?
Plane, yeah.
So I have to set this. So since I have always been a person who would do something unique, 2017. I was sitting on my toilet seat, doing my business, and, you know, that's my thinking couch. The most creative ideas would come there. And I was thinking that, Atam, every artist has a physical identity. Like, when you see an artist, right, they carry an aura with them. And then they also carry sometimes some physical identity, like somebody would only wear the gray color kurta, or somebody would have long hair or long beard or some different kind of glasses. So most of the artists, not everyone, but I thought that let me have some physical identity that people would recognize me with that identity.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to do something with my hobby, like what my passion is, aeroplanes. So fine, okay, let's think of something like aeroplanes. Then I remember I read an article from one of my educated colleagues. He's not a colleague, he's a friend actually. Alok Kejriwal. So he wrote an article, "Wear your brand and don't be ashamed about it." So his brand logo was a monkey. So whenever he used to go to meetings, right, he would carry a monkey in his pocket. And he would want people to ask, like, why he's carrying the monkey.
Okay.
Then he would tell his story. So that was an article he wrote, Alok Kejriwal. And I remember that, okay, let me wear my brand. Like, I didn't have any brand at that time. But let me see what I can do with aeroplanes. So it was just brainstorming. Let me make a small plane, paper plane. Because when you think of paper, the first thing you think of is paper plane.
Yeah.
Anybody,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And then paper plane is something everybody connects with. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm. So it has to do with paper plane. And what would I do? I thought, let me make some metal brooch and I will always wear on my pocket or something. I said, that's not unique. Everybody can do that. Let me make something my own. Then I said, okay, let me... It was just an idea that, okay, why not I experiment putting on my glasses? Because I always wear my glasses and I take care of my glasses and paper plane would not even have any effect on the weight of the glasses. It's paper, it's very small, it's nothing. And it won't even, move my glasses till to this side because it's paper.
Mm.
So everything fell in place and I, started experimenting on small plane, LCA Tejas, light combat aircraft, Tejas of Indian Air Force. The movie is coming out right now.
I'm
trying to contact them. Kangana Ranaut. So Tejas was my first plane which I made. I made it with blue and green fluorescent paper. It was not a Tiranga, but I just made some random fluorescent paper. I wore it and I went to office next day, 2017. And I knew that people are going to ask me, but when I was in the elevator going to the office, right? So I saw people looking at me like this, like there is something weird about this guy,
Okay.
It does look weird. And then I used to, started getting comments like, sir, there is some leaf on your glasses or some butterfly sitting on your glasses or why you are carrying a Christmas tree on your glasses,
okay.
Right? So I knew that this PR thing is working for me. People are asking me what it is. Because that was my purpose. And then I would tell them a story that, I'm putting a plane on my glasses because I'm a paper artist, my first paper model. The story which I told you, I would tell them briefly. So it was a very good, it has been a very good ice-breaking thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
And 7 years now, I think 2017, right? 6 years, I've never stepped out of my house without wearing...
How many of this kind have you made so far?
If you look, this is Sukhoi 30.
Sukhoi 30.
I think I've made 5 different things. MiG-21, LCA Tejas, Sukhoi 30, F-16 of Bahrain.
Okay.
And there's one, no, only I think four.
Is there any criteria which you apply to make these, which you put to pick on what model to make?
It's a good question, Raji, because considering the size, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. If I make, let's say A320, the wings are going to be very small. It's not going to last. So I always make planes which have delta wing. MiG-21, Tejas, Sukhoi, Rafale.
And what kind of paper is that?
This is again the same paper. It's a 180 GSM, but this time this is 180 GSM, yes. And I've used fluorescent paper because I want the Tiranga to shine.
Okay.
So, I just love my country. And
all of us are proud Indians.
I think I wear this very proudly. Most of the time you would see me wearing Tiranga only. Sometimes I experiment with different colors, but mostly it's Tiranga.
What was the emotion that led you to do the F-16 of Bahrain?
Nice. Before that, I was wearing LCA Tejas, right? And then I switched to MiG-21. MiG-21 was the switch happened when the Indian Air Force. He's actually a war hero right now. So he crashed his MiG-21 in Pakistan, and then it was a global news. Then he was sent back to India. I wore it for I think 1.5 years, maybe 2 years, and then this episode of Mr. Abhinandan happened when he shot down an F-16 of Pakistan Air Force, and he crashed his MiG-21 in Pakistan.
Mm.
And looking at that, MiG-21 is a very, very old 1970s Soviet era aeroplane.
Mm-hmm.
And F-16 is considered to be one of the top-notch planes.
Mm.
And so he shot it down. And that was the moment I said, okay, let me now wear MiG-21. So then at the same night I made MiG-21.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started wearing MiG-21 for for 8-9 months, 1 year, I then wore MiG-21. Then I wore Sukhoi because I love this plane because it has more detailing. It has two rudders and fuselage and then the body. So there are four parts. And for this kind of a size, I can't add more detailing, but this is the most I can do. F-16 of Bahrain happened recently, last year when I was...
The air show?
After the air show, when I was going to exhibit my models first time in Bahrain.
Mm.
So I wanted to do something for Bahrain. And again, it has to do something with airplanes. It always starts with airplanes for me. So I said, okay, let me make some kind of an art with F-16s of Bahrain with red and white color.
Mm.
So I made a Bahrain flag, a small artwork with the flag was made out of red and white Bahrain F-16 airplanes. So that's what made the flag. And everybody loved it. And then I started wearing F-16 on my glasses for some time. Then I switched back to Indian Tiranga. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fair enough. You gave it back to your host country.
Yeah.
And then gone back to your home country. It's all of airplanes. But right now I see in front of you a bike.
Yes.
And this has been a very popular model of yours, isn't it? Is it very fragile?
It is indeed very
How
fragile.
How old is it?
Haji. It is, the weight is not more than 50 grams, 50 grams. And this is my brand ambassador, basically.
Yeah. How old is it?
When did you make it? This is 2009, 14 years old.
14 years. Yeah. So you must be having a special case for
it. Yeah, I carry it in my glass acrylic box, and then I have a custom made handbag. Which I always take it in my cabin. I never check in this thing. It's always in my cabin. It's my cabin luggage.
Okay.
And wherever I've gone, traveled and worked in different countries, this has always been there. So people have seen this. Whenever people saw me, I made sure that they saw this. So this is my brand. And there's small LCA Tejas on
that.
So this is my signature.
Okay.
So, and what I do is, when I complete a model, right? I plug the same aeroplane from my glasses and put it there, because that plane has seen the journey.
The journey.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it becomes part of that memory. But since this was made in 2009 and I started wearing planes in 2017, so I randomly plucked one plane and put it here.
The journey has been beautiful and is going very strong. Tell us about the future. What are the new things that's added to your collections?
So Raji, there comes a point when, like, the kind of person I am, right? This point keeps on coming in my life, that what next?
What next?
What is the next unique thing you're going to do, Atam? So I happen to, as I said, I happen to exhibit a few of my models in Bahrain. And when I was exhibiting, right, I was with a lot of other artists who were all oil painters or acrylic painters. And I started observing how they talk about their art. Because for me, at the end of the day, this is a machine. I can only talk so much about a machine in form of an art. It remains a machine and it remains a craft. How to make art?
Art.
Yeah. How to become an artist? I have been a craftsman all my life. How to become an artist? So that transition happened. I knew that paper is going to be my thing. So I started thinking that let me make something which I can put on a canvas. So that I can fit in for all the exhibitions, because it always has to be a mounted on the wall thing. So the first thing I made was the Bahrain F-16 flag.
The flag.
And then I continued with it. I started making Batman, Joker, a portrait of Joker with the black background. It kind of a cartoonized portrait with layers on it. So there were four different papers with four different layers. So you would, when you see it from the front, you would see some kind of depth. So it's again a 3D model, not a model, 3D art. It's made of paper, it's paper art, but it's not really a paper model. It's a paper art. So I started experimenting with that, and it's going well now. I'm doing a lot of paper art. I've recently finished Patrika Gate, which is one of my most ambitious projects. I'm going to post about it very soon. And I would like to show you what I've recently made.
Okay, interesting. Let's have a look at it.
So Raji,
that's amazing. So that's a Bahrain map.
Yes.
All done in paper.
Yes, this is a Bahrain topology as seen from a satellite. With the how an artist astronaut would look at Bahrain from satellite. That's the thing which I came up with. So this is a very precise map of Bahrain, actually. If you see Durat Bahrain and all those things, all the islands are there. And then with my imagination and a bit of studying the topology of Bahrain, the elevation map, so I came up with these layers of, bringing it outwards. So there are 11 different layers and which make this beautiful island of Bahrain with paper. Yes.
Indeed. It's looking all the more beautiful with a blue shade to it, like the ocean.
Yeah, this is actually... this is an experiment which came out well. So I wanted to see the effect of blue glass on white thing. I'll tell you the story. I happened to be at a cafe recently in Bahrain, and I saw a guy cleaning the windows, outside window of the cafe. And the window was tinted blue. And since he was wearing a white shirt, it appeared to me, because he was outside the window and I was inside, So I it appeared to me that he was wearing a blue shirt. But when he came in, he was wearing a white shirt. So it like stuck to me that, you know, can I experiment with this? Because using white paper with blue tint glass, you know, may have a different kind of, you know, effect on it. Let me experiment. So that's then I started searching for acrylic sheet, which I easily got from Aval Plastic in Hid. And then I couldn't find the blue tint, the blue layer. I couldn't find anywhere. I mean, I tried to contact Dubai everywhere. Then, I mean, only the car accessory shops would have it, but they also didn't have the shade which I wanted. But I'm very particular about it. If I want that blue, I want that blue. Even if I have to get it from UK, I will get it, but I want that blue. And fortunately, I was randomly calling all the car garages and all, do you have this blue tint and all. There was one person, he's from Sitra, Be Cool. That's the name of the place. He said, Paji, come, I may have something for you. Then he showed me the roll, and that was exactly the blue tint I was looking for. So he got it laminated for me on the acrylic sheets, which I got from Aval Plastic. And then I think I got around 6 to 7 very big sheets tinted blue. And then I came home and started experimenting with it. And then this happened. You know, this experiment came out well.
This is your latest, right?
This is one of my... This is kind
have
of
you named
latest.
This something?
Bahrain Blues.
Bahrain Blues? Yes. Yeah. I knew that you would have some specific names for every project of yours. Great. So the Patrika Gate was also nice. We could see the video on your Instagram handles. And what is your Instagram handle, by the way?
It's Paper Model Guru.
Paper Model Guru,
yes,
right?
Anyway.
Okay. So the brand that you've created, what is the future of this brand? What do you have in your mind?
I mean, I'm a person who really doesn't plan a lot. You know? I mean, I just go with the flow. Like my job takes me to different countries. I go with my job. You know, I love spending time with my family. And, you know, I love doing my art just to satisfy my own soul. And with that process, a brand has emerged. Like Paper Model Guru as a brand has emerged. The guy with the on his glasses, the brand has emerged. I definitely have, ambitions to become a very big artist, you know, to be able to make some kind of a dent in the universe, you know, my art should have some kind of impact on the lives of people. So Patrika Gate is basically a start of a series of art, which I have just started. So Patrika Gate is a reflection of a very beautiful ancient monument of India. So if you see the artwork, it's a reflection. So the gate is there and then you have a reflection. And with my art, I want people to be able to reflect within themselves to find the inner beauty.
Interesting.
So if your beauty lies within you, the happiness lies within you. So my art, the purpose of my art is to get that feeling into the eyes of the audience, and you know, maybe they'll be able to smile. And that's what I want to do right now. I mean, no big plans. Yeah.
Great. Thank you, Atamjit, for this wonderful session. Yes, may Lady Luck keep smiling at you, and we look forward to having more of such creative outputs from you, reflections or perspectives, as you would say, all those lovely words that you picked right from the dream to the magic that you're creating every bit. Thank you so much for joining us. It was indeed a great journey.
It has been my pleasure, Raji, always. Thank you so much.
Right. Do wait for our next inspiring, engaging and exciting guest at the 973 show.